This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman, along with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson as well. Large series of weather systems moving across the northern plains today. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Timothy Lynch says the slow-moving system, mostly dropping light rain, but...
Or it's a cutoff upper low. What that's doing is it's just kind of allowing ongoing, more so light rain, light showery activity in the area from Devil's Lake all the way down to west central Minnesota. There's kind of some scattered showers activity. We've even had, back in Minot, we've even had some reports of light snow falling. So the much cooler air being brought in behind that upper low. As that wanders off to the east very slowly today, we're going to continue to see the winds pick up. Could see some gusts upwards of 40 to 50 miles per hour once that starts happening.
Cooler temperatures will remain through Saturday and may touch the low 60s by Sunday.
For Saturday and Sunday, it looks, especially Saturday, is going to stay cool. It's cooler than normal. With skies should be clearing out a little bit through the day on Saturday from west to east, but we're going to kind of struggle to get rid of those clouds, especially from the Red River Valley and eastward, even moving into Sunday before we start to see sunshine poking through in some areas. Temperatures on Sunday will be a little bit warmer. We might hit 60 degrees in a couple areas in the Southern Valley, but for the most part, it's going to be in the 50s for Sunday.
Beneficial rain fell on the driest areas in much of the region from the eastern Dakotas into western Minnesota yesterday. World Weather Incorporated says the rain also extended into much of Wisconsin and Michigan. More rain is expected Sunday evening into Wednesday from eastern South Dakota and southern Minnesota to the south and east. World Weather says eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota will miss out on much of that rain from this latest recent weather system.
Growers in northwest Minnesota welcoming much-needed moisture after a long stretch of dry conditions. Hallock area farmer Kelly Erickson said the rain came just in time.
Well, before last night, we were bone dry and a lot of dirt moving and filling up ditches. I guess we got on average of about an inch over the farm, a welcomed inch. There's even a little water standing, which I think will be gone in a day or two. So pretty happy we got this rain.
Despite some strong winds, Erickson said there was no damage and conditions looking up for crop emergence.
Well, we were kind of away. You know, the last stuff we seeded into dry dirt. So, you know, they weren't going to come until they got moisture. So, and that was basically our canola and our soybeans. So I think with this moisture and a little bit of heat next week, we should start seeing rows.
Recent rains have been a welcome sight in south-central North Dakota. Solon farmer Woody Barth says his area received several inches of steady rain over the past few days.
We had a bunch of rain over the last couple of days. We're anywhere from 3 to 5 inches of rain. It was a beautiful three-day rain. We got a lot of water. Our creeks started running overnight. We're always thankful for that to fill up our water holes for the cattle. And it's a good rain so far, and nothing is out of the ordinary for this rain.
And Barth says planting progress has been strong with most crops in the ground and emerging well.
I'd say most people have the corn in, starting to emerge. It's coming up pretty nice with the warm weather we had over the weekend, and now with this rain. Soybeans, a lot of soybeans are in the ground. Of course, all the wheat, small grains are in the ground. Winter wheat did not survive the winter very well. We had an open winter and a cold February. Hurt that. But I think all that's really left of major consequence is probably sunflowers.
Planting progressing steadily in the Buffalo, North Dakota area, helped along by a timely shot of rain. Randy Melvin says they picked up just under 3/4 of an inch.
They got about 6-7 tenths, I think, is what it was last night. And got some areas that, you know, the plants were getting kind of close to dry dirt. And we got areas we got good moisture yet before the rain. We just got started on soybeans. Some guys are completely done in the area, so it just kind of depends on who got out early, the ground conditions, the frost is out, and where that's going right now.
Melvin said field conditions variable depending on tillage practices. No-till fields holding more moisture than the tilled ones.
I went out and saw my fields that were no-till, planting soybeans, and I was very happy with the soybeans going into moisture. I had other fields that were tilled that, it was pretty dry. So it really is a field-by-field basis.
Beneficial rains falling from Manitoba to southwestern Saskatchewan yesterday as well. World Weather Incorporated said the rainfall totals near the U.S. border ranged from a half to 2.5 inches. Frost and freezes were reported in parts of Alberta, with a few areas dropping to 27 degrees Fahrenheit. World Weather says that cold air mass will shift to the eastern prairies this weekend.
Much of Brazil expected to see a good mix of favorable weather that'll allow harvest to continue and support the developing safrinha crop. World Weather Incorporated says the exception, southern Brazil and Paraguay, where regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms will delay some field work. World Weather says Argentina will also see a few rain delays, as two rounds of significant rain expected to occur over the next 2 weeks.
After an early start, sugar beet crop facing a few challenges. Extension sugar beet agronomist Tom Peters says the weeds are coming.
Lots of kochia, lots of common ragweed, and lots of water hemp. So we have all three that we're contending with already. And the water hemp was very predictable. We had the rain event, and then that was followed by the warm weather, and that triggered water hemp germination and emergence. So I'm worried a lot about kochia, just because there aren't as many options for kochia control post-emergence.
And Peter says the pre-emerge chemicals did work fairly well. Friendly reminder, you can hear the latest farm news, weather, podcasts anytime. You can listen at rrfn.com or most anywhere you get your podcasts. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The search for trade partners is an ongoing one, and with 1.4 billion people, India is a popular target for U.S. commodities like corn. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
With such a large population, National Corn Growers Association Chief Economist Krista Swanson says that India presents a pretty enticing opportunity for U.S. corn growers.
We have more opportunities, and we have been focused with corn on the opportunity in India. With its 1.4 billion consumers, just could be a really major market for corn growers.
While India remains a good target for U.S. corn, they're not without their own challenges.
India is a big market for corn, but they have some restrictions on genetically modified corn. So it's not a market that we can access, not because of tariffs specifically, but this is an example of a nation that has some of these, what we call non-tariff trade barriers, where they have regulations that prevent that. And so, you know, this is an opportunity to open the door to potentially $235 million worth of U.S. corn exports.
If these non-tariff challenges can be overcome, Swanson says that there's plenty of room for growth for corn exports to the Indian market.
Over the last few years, we have only exported 2% of what their total importing in India. You know, the U.S. is only filling about 2% of that market. And so there's just huge potential if we could get over some of those barriers. And then there's also opportunities for ethanol and DDGs.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Legislative and legal hurdles continue to mount for Summit Carbon Solutions' proposed pipeline project. Two North Dakota judges have ruled that lawsuits filed by landowners against the company can move forward despite Summit's attempts to have dismissed. At the same time, Iowa lawmakers have passed a bill limiting the use of eminent domain for carbon pipelines, sending it to the governor's desk. American Carbon Alliance CEO Tom Bias says the setbacks facing the Summit pipeline are just the latest in a series of challenges the project has had to navigate.
You know, the whole process, it's kind of like playing the game whack-a-mole. You get one hurdle pops up, and then, you know, you address those issues as you go forward. And this is just another one of those issues. There's critics out there that don't want to see American agriculture engage in this new opportunity, which creates a lot of demand for farmers, a lot of demand for ethanol, and restores profitability to rural America.
Despite the setbacks, Bias says the project still has a path forward.
We think it's going to be built because if you look at the impact this is going to have, you know, there's no doubt the farm economy is headed the wrong direction. We have too much supply and not enough demand. And here's an opportunity for the United States to be able to produce the feedstocks for next generation biofuels, higher blends.
And screwworms returning to the U.S. has the cattle industry on high alert. National Cattlemen's Beef Association CEO Colin Woodall says it's not a matter of if, but when the parasite makes its way across the southern border.
And probably sometime later this summer. Our best opportunity to have stopped these flies was that red line you just talked about, that real narrow isthmus part between the states of Oaxaca and Veracruz there in southern Mexico. And given the current capacity to produce sterile males, that's about 100 million a week, that was enough to be able to hold that line. But unfortunately, they have blown through that line. They're about 700 miles south of Texas right now.
The USDA and APHIS working to slow the spread by ramping up sterile fly production, but Woodall says that effort is depending on urgent congressional action.
Congress is working on that. The Stop Screwworms Act, introduced in both the House and Senate, is going to help. We are also looking at how money from the Commodity Credit Corporation, the CCC, could be utilized here. Congress needs to understand that while we appreciate their support, we have to get some things going now. And we have to identify a location, build this facility, start the production, and then ultimately move forward with the distribution of the sterile males into the wild, so that way we can protect ourselves.
Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X. It's all at rrfn.com.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Ariana Schumacher. Ariana, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for this week?
Yeah, so on the cover of Ag Week this week, we went to Buffalo Christian Academy in Colton, South Dakota. It's a school that kind of models themselves after a one-room schoolhouse, one-room classroom type of feel, but it's a hybrid model. So students go to their own homes to do English and math, and then they come to this school, and it really focuses on agriculture as well as some history classes. This past year, they moved their school to an on-farm location inside an old schoolhouse. So kids are actually able to learn on a working farm. Since they're on a farm, they have things such as chickens and honeybees, and so kids really get to learn about production agriculture at their school. They educate over 30 students from kindergarten through 12th grade, and so the students will learn kind of all together, kind of, again, modeling that one-room schoolhouse vibe all together in the beginning of the day, and then they get to pick which specific classes they want to take throughout the school year. So then in the afternoon, they'll divide up. They'll take those classes, which have included things like car maintenance. And next year, they want to start adding some welding classes. So they're hoping to be able to get some equipment and some grants to be able to offer welding to their students. The school was also able to open their own FFA chapter this year. So students that are at Buffalo Christian Academy were able to go out and go to National Convention this year and get some of those traditional agricultural classroom and FFA opportunities at their hybrid school.
Thanks, Ariana. Looking forward to reading about it in the next edition of Ag Week.
Taking a look at the markets here again. Minneapolis wheat, July, we're down 5.5 now, 574.5. Chicago, July, down 7.75, 525. Kansas City, July, we're down 11.25, 570. July corn is down 5.5 at 443. July soybeans down 0.75, 1050.5. June live cattle now is up $1.27 at $212.45. The August feeders up $2, $297.82. This is the Red River Farm Network.